Good morning, and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us today. This is the first Wednesday of the month, and it has been our pleasure for a long time on the first Wednesday to talk about food and cooking, generally with the guy who's here with us this morning, the man we like to call our chef in residence. It's purely honorary, ladies and gentlemen. Doyle Moore is his name, and for a long time he's been stopping by on a regular basis. And we always have a good time when he is here, picking some subject to talk about. Sometimes it's a key ingredient. Sometimes it's a particular dish. Sometimes we have talked about cooking from different parts of the world and different parts of the United States. And there are no particular rules. We do suggest to people if they want to call in and share a recipe, they can do that. Or sometimes people have asked Doyle to try and do some culinary troubleshooting, and we've had people call in and say, I'm trying to make this dish, and it's just not working. What do you think I'm doing wrong? And he said, well, maybe you might want to try this. You might want to try this. So we always have a good time when he is here. And this time around, he says, let's talk about tomatoes. And my thought was, this is the kind of thing that if you like to cook and you like to eat, all winter long, people are thinking about it. And my guess would be if we in the middle of January, we rounded up a bunch of people and we said, okay, what food item would you most like to have right now that you can't get? And I will bet a lot of people would say, if I could just get a tomato, if I could walk out and I could pluck it off the vine, that is what I would want. Because there is no substitute what you can get that way, because you can't. Yeah, you can go down to the grocery store and you buy tomatoes, but they're red and they're round, but that's about it. So we're now coming closer to the time that there will be tomatoes. Yes. And Doyle sort of saying, well, let's talk about tomatoes, and maybe people might want to tell us what they would do. If you get good tomatoes, what would be the first thing that you would want to do? So it's wide open. Anything you want to share with us, even if you just want to call and say hi, that would be fine. 333-9455 is the Champaign-Urbana number, and also we have that toll-free line, 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
So have you been thinking about tomatoes yourself?
Well, yeah. You know, when I'm trying to figure out what to do, I often think about what my own plight is. And, of course, I relied on my magazines, but they have failed me the last 3 months. They haven't had anything that we've wanted to talk about for the last 3 months, so I have to come up with my own repertory. And tomatoes, we've often talked about the tomatoes, and I try to do it at least once a year, but they are a puzzle. They're quite a puzzle. And they are changing. Tomatoes are changing. And that's also a puzzle as to, I want to say, leave well enough alone. But
The tomatoes we used to have were just fine? They didn't need
any change? They were. Yeah. They had more acid in them. Right. They didn't spoil as quickly. They had flavor. The growers have gradually bred the acid out of the tomato, and so it's a little bit less full of the stuff that it used to have. And so then trying to cook with it with less acid also makes a problem with cooking, because sometimes they just don't want to react the way that they used to. Mm-hmm. And just before I left my house, I took a quick look at one of my friends, who Ronald Johnson, wrote an extraordinarily good cookbook. And he said, don't buy a tomato, grow it or get it from someone who grows it, because that's the only way it is. Because and this is the awful part. He says, tomatoes that you get in the store are picked green and they're sprayed with gas to make them turn red. And that's awful. But it's true. And so then what do we do? And of course, his solution is always use canned tomatoes, because they're always picked ripe. And I mean, he just blatantly said those things. And I thought, well, he was right about a lot of things with cooking. So I do keep as they say in England, tins of tomatoes lying around all over the place, many. And I do cook with that. But I keep trying to think, well, what is the real function of the tomato? It's a new world product. So all of the traditional thing, I mean, all of the things that we have accepted as tradition, tomato sauce from Italy. Hey, there was a time when Italy did not have a tomato to make a tomato sauce. And you see, all those things then are new innovations on what to do with all of that. Mm-hmm. And that interests me. Like, well, what are the traditional things? And or what are some of the real good things that are made with tomatoes that are just outstanding? And I have a candidate for that.
Yes.
It's mixed because, oh, come on, how can you live in Illinois and not have fresh tomato and corn in the middle of the summer? And sometimes only that. Mm-hmm. And then leave the brats on the grill and just eat that fresh corn and a freshly sliced tomato. And if someone is kind enough to have peeled it for you, it's even better. I don't know why. But there is that. But I think that one of the best dishes that and you almost can't ruin it, but I've found some innovations that keep it just a little bit better, is the Provençal, the tomato Provençal, which is a baked tomato. And the thing that I have learned about it from when I first learned about tomato, you know, the old way was slice the tomato in half, turn it upside down, pack some bread crumbs on top of it, sprinkle it with some cheese, a little olive oil, and bake it. And just do it in that step. I have recently performed a recipe which I found very satisfying because it does something to the flesh and the meat of the tomato. Turn lightly salt the tomato, turn it upside down on paper towels, and let the juice get out of it. Mm-hmm. You don't squeeze it. Don't do that. But let the by osmosis let the salt draw some moisture, not a lot, but just more than you want right there. And then turn the tomatoes face down and bake them in the oven on a sheet for about 20 minutes upside down. And then that begins to cook them and begins to dry them out a little bit. And then at a particular point, turn them over so that their faces are up, their cut faces are up, and then put the breadcrumbs on and then put the cheese on long after you've sort of cooked them. And what happens is this is just a touch closer to a sun-dried tomato. So it isn't just a big gloppy mess of paste that the juice and the breadcrumbs made, and you kind of mess around through that and you wish you hadn't cut through that. This thing is just a little bit leatherier, and it collapses. It collapses way down to about 3/4 of an inch, and so all of that is a nice concentration. And ooh, is it good? Just learned to make that last year. So that's my innovation on a tomato Provençal, which is such a good taste because it's cooked. Right. Like it.
If you'd like to call in and tell us what you want to do with tomato when you could get a good tomato, you could give us a call here and be a part of the conversation. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. The canned tomato really is a good product.
I mean, yes,
it's a great thing to have that on the shelf because then you can use that to make, basically, I guess what I would use is to make tomato sauce and then use that for pasta or for something else.
My author friend went a little bit farther. Mm-hmm. Number one, use the Roma tomatoes.
Yes.
And number two, use a foreign tomato in a foreign label. because the Italian tomatoes, there are some very, very fine tomatoes that are sold in this town. I can't remember the names of them, but there are two or three brands that are just extraordinary. Somebody will have that information on their mind, and they'll call in, because I forget the names of those tomatoes, and they are very, very special, and they're worth hunting up and finding.
I really like San Marzano tomatoes, and they are Italian plum style tomatoes, and you can get them various brands that are packed and canned in Italy. And
yes.
There's also one that I thought was pretty good that actually comes from Canada that I have also bought. And to me, they have a different flavor than just if you just buy canned tomatoes. They're somehow different. And also each different kind is different.
Red Gold doesn't satisfy
no.
you that much?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, well.
And after having used those for a long time.
That may be the one, you know, the San Marzano. What is
San Marzano.
It? Marzano. That may be the tomato I'm thinking of.
And at one point, Strawberry Fields had one that I really liked, and then they didn't have it anymore. It was organic. It came from Italy, and I thought it was really good. It was the first one that I'd used, and I used it for a while, and then they didn't have it anymore. And now I've used different brands, but I particularly like that for making a red sauce, because I think it really does, the flavor really is different. So I'm not exactly sure how it's different, but it's different. And I like the result a lot better. But it'd be nice to have. I was just the other day, Mrs. Inge and I were sitting down looking at some cookbooks, thinking, okay, we've got to find – it's summer now. We want to find new things to make. And darn if about 70% of the recipes didn't call for tomatoes.
Oh, right.
And fresh tomatoes.
Yeah.
And we're also going through thinking, well, you can't get them unless you can use a cherry tomato or a grape tomato, which are not bad.
Grape tomatoes are very tasty. Very tasty. They surprise me, and I think it's because they are indeed picked ripe. And you have so many of them. Wandering down life's highway this morning, getting over here, I pondered a lot about tomatoes. You know, what did my mother do with tomatoes? And of course, I know I've told this story before, but it always makes me both embarrassed and laugh. I don't know too many people that make a tomato preserve. A tomato jam.
Uh-huh.
And that is as exotic as you can get. It is so straightforward, nothing. It's sugar and tomatoes. Sugar and tomatoes and cook down, and then add lemon juice at the end and cook it a little bit more, put it in a jar. And there is one approach where they use that as a freezer jam. So then they put that into a freezer. But Mother never did. And you could not anticipate this flavor. It was so different and so special, and it was always such a very small amount. Because years ago, the story I'm thinking of is that Safeway had some tomatoes, little pear tomatoes, a little tiny ones. I'm talking about 1942, and they would sell them in, you know. Twice a year, you could get a little box. So I was sent down to the store to get them. By the time I got home, I had eaten half of them. There wasn't enough to make a cup of the jam. I wasn't spanked, but I should have been, because I wasn't thinking about anything other than my own greed to eat those tomatoes, because, oh, were they good. But I believe I would have liked them better had they been in the jam.
So what did you... We use that for as a spread
on bread and butter.
Oh,
bread and butter as a jam. It was never treated as a chutney or a sauce or anything like. Nope, it goes on bread.
Okay, we have some callers here.
Good.
Let's talk with someone first in Champagne, line one. Hello.
Yes. Looking at the buds on my tomato plants, and I'm thinking sliced up mozzarella.
Oh, yes.
A little bit of basil.
Yes.
Maybe some pesto.
Fresh basil.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
I had that first in Richmond, Virginia. No, not Richmond, Virginia. What's next to Washington, D.C.? A. Starts with an A.
Annapolis?
No, in Virginia.
In Virginia.
Oh, I don't know. You go across the river, and that's a restaurant that I had. And I was just freaked out because there was this big leaf of basil, and then the tomato tasted so good. And in Illinois, you couldn't get mozzarella cheese in those days. And so it was really a new experience for me. It's wonderful. You're absolutely right. That's another one that I sort of put away in a special spot to think about because it doesn't get any better than that.
That's my favorite.
Oh, I like it. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I was thinking about that, too. That's the classic insalata caprese.
Yes.
Italian
but
deal.
Just remember, there was a time when we didn't know what it was, and it hasn't been a long time ago.
Yeah. And that's though, that's really, you got to have primo tomatoes, primo fresh tomatoes,
yes,
as well as being able to get the fresh mozzarella and the fresh basil.
And a good olive oil.
And a good olive oil, yeah. It's real simple. It's a very simple dish. There's not that much to it if you get the ingredients. All right. Really? Let's talk next with someone here on cell phone, line number 2. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
A friend of mine who had a pizzeria, he's gone, sadly, used to make in the late spring, he used to make what he called zucchini soup, and it was full of fresh zucchini and tomatoes and some mushrooms, and it was warm. You know, I for some reason thought maybe it might have been cold in my head, but you know, nonetheless, it was just this beguiling balance of all of those ingredients, and I don't have a recipe for it. I have a memory of it, and I was wondering if perhaps that might trigger something in you that might lead me more towards that.
Well, yes, it does. Was that someone here in town?
No. His name was Alberto Campisi. He was not in town.
There's a mysterious Greek in town who makes a rosmarina soup, which is absolutely mind-boggling, but it's long gone, and I cannot find that recipe, but it sounds like that kind of a mixture where things are sort of cooked down and blend together quite well. The rosmarina might be pretty close for what you're looking at.
I'll look it up.
Yes, but I haven't found the recipe. So when you find it, let me know because I'm looking for it myself. But
I'll
I remember that and there probably was rosemary and oregano in that soup.
Okay.
And it probably also was pureed and not chunks. And the addition of other vegetables, I never knew. I never knew what that was. But you used to buy it. South of town at Paradise. No, I forgot. You had to go out of town and south on town. It changed hands several times. It was a very early motel and restaurant and such as that. That's where he had it. Good though. Well, thank you. I'll think about that some more. That is another favorite taste of mine, yes.
Thanks.
All
yes.
Right, well, thank you for the call. And we'll go on here and talk with someone next up in Aurora, line number 4. Hello.
I think that town you're thinking of is Arlington.
Oh, that's it, Arlington, Virginia, yes. Yes, that's the one.
I'm sorry I'm a little late. You're talking about tomatoes?
Yes, indeed. What do you know about tomatoes?
Well, I'll tell you why I'm late. I went out to buy the fixings to make peanut butter cookies for my grandson.
Oh, yes.
They're having an open house from his graduation from college. So that's what I went out for. I wouldn't miss your program for anything else. You know that.
Well,
only that I had to go out to get the groceries to make peanut butter cookies.
Now, my advice on the peanut butter cookies. Oh.
Yes.
When I was 8 years old, I ate raw peanut butter dough, and I got very, very sick. Don't let them eat just the dough.
Well, he did that once. We made them the dough.
Yes.
To fish, and he was sitting fishing, I thought, but he was eating the dough, the raw dough.
Yes.
So we did go down that lane.
Well. It took me a long time, and I still, to this day, kind of, take a deep breath before I might eat a peanut butter cookie. They are so good, but boy, does it bring back all of that misery. Terrible misery.
Well, I give, for just a memory of that peanut butter incident, I used to give my growing up grandson, who's now very grown up, a box of cookies and a jar of peanut butter for Christmas, every Christmas.
Oh, good, good.
Just for a fun thing. I'll tell you what the Slovaks do for
tomato.
Tomato.
Yes.
I updated a little. I buy a can of diced tomatoes with
yes.
celery onions and green peppers in it.
Oh, and green peppers, uh-huh.
And then I sugar it just a bit, about a cup. I sugar just a bit, not much. And then I brown in butter about a third of a cup of brown breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbs in butter, uh-huh.
And then I sprinkle it over the top of those tomatoes that have been sweetened. And I just love that. And, of course, I was brought up on it. That's how we ate tomatoes.
So it was a little baked casserole-like?
Yeah, almost, but uh-huh. not baked in the oven if you didn't want to bake it. I guess it was like a scalloped tomato, really.
A little bit like that, yeah.
So, but you can make it. In fact, I brought the fixings for it to have it for supper tonight.
Oh, that'll be good. You know, you hit on something that's very, very, very important. Tomatoes want to be joined with sugar.
Yes.
Just a little bit of sugar. So if you're ever using tomatoes in anything, sprinkle. You don't put tablespoons full in, but sprinkle sugar, and it does something.
Just to taste. It does. It blends the tomatoes.
It does something to it. It makes it jump up and down, I guess. But that sounds awfully good.
Yes, I love it. Thank you, and
yes.
I will listen to the rest of the
okay.
program.
Okay. Good luck on the cookies.
Yes. Bye-bye. Thank you.
We are already at the midpoint of this part of Focus 580. Yes, it's true. And we're here sitting with the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and it has been our pleasure for a long time. First Wednesday, 10 o'clock show, to talk about cooking and pick some different subject and tell stories about it and exchange recipes. And this time around, Doyle said, well, let's talk about tomatoes, something that just about everybody can relate to. Well, I guess there's some people who can't eat them, but it's one of the big favorites of summer.
Don't know that.
Kind of think that there are some people who can't, who have, there's some sort of allergy issue. Maybe I'm mistaken about that, but I do kind of think that actually it's true that there are some people who cannot eat tomatoes.
Oh, no, you're right. My brother-in-law, he can't eat fresh tomatoes. He can eat them if they're cooked, but not fresh. That's right. Yeah. And he can't eat raw onions either.
Yeah. So, but probably for lots and lots of folks, as we said at the beginning of the program, it's one of the great things, the things that you look forward to for summer. Yes, it's true, as we have said, you can go out and you can get canned tomatoes, and that's fine. But there are certain things you cannot do with a canned tomato. What you really want is a great fresh one. I think about how in so many cooking magazines in summertime, there are fabulous tomato salads where what they've gone out is gone out and get 6-8 different kinds of tomatoes and just slice them basically and put them on a plate and, you know, perhaps a little olive oil or vinaigrette or something like that, some very simple kind of sauce.
Yeah, a little vinaigrette would be good.
But the thing is, you can't make that if you cannot get the tomatoes.
You see, that's kind of curious because of course I'm stubborn and I want strawberries 24 hours a day, 12 months of the year. You can get them.
Sure.
But you can't get good tomatoes except only in the summer. So you sort of suffer and you wait for that product and you wait for farmer's market. And you load up. Now, speaking of loading up tomatoes from farmers market, which I would highly, highly recommend, I learned how to freeze them. A whole tomato that you're going to use in cooking, not for slicing and not for, but you take the best tomato that you're getting, and you cut the core out of the top. Now, what that does is that releases the pressure of the tomato and the skin, and you put that in on a baking pan or a baking dish and put it in the freezer. And you freeze it solid. Then you take it off of that pan and put it into a plastic bag and then store it for a while. And when you're ready to use it, you just take the whole frozen tomato out and you can just kind of chunk it with a knife like you're peeling around a potato or something. You'll be able to cut that frozen tomato and drop it right into the stew or whatever it is that you're using a tomato for, and it is so good. You say, well, this does taste like a fresh tomato. But that's one way to preserve a tomato when we're going to get a few all at once. We want them in December. And it really does work. Most important, I suppose you could poke holes into it if you just wanted to release that pressure.
Well, otherwise, I guess it would explode.
It would explode. It would explode. Yeah. And you'd have
a big mess.
Frozen. You'd have an exploded tomato in your freezer. It's exactly what it is. But that's a very, very good way to do it. I had a cooking teacher that she would always bring a tomato, frozen, and then sit there and would cut it up, put it in whatever she was doing. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, other questions, comments, recipes? If you want to call in, say hello, or share a tomato recipe with us, you can do that here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's the local number. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us. If it would be a long-distance call for you, use that number, and that is 800-222-9455. So again, here excuse me, in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. So what else would you do?
Well, I was thinking, I'm wondering if people are still drying tomatoes. Remember it became a real, the sun-dried tomato?
Yeah.
Well, oh, it was really hot when you couldn't get it.
And of course, now you can just go right out.
I made
and
botulism
buy them.
by the gallon.
Ooh.
I quit putting olive oil and garlic into my canned jars of tomatoes because they all exploded. And I thought, this is not what I want to do. So after I dry them, I now put them in the freezer. So they're dried and then they're put into the freezer.
So you're still making your own.
I haven't recently. That's what I'm wondering if people still are. But when I was busy doing it, because there are several ways of doing it, one would even be, believe it or not, putting it in the sun.
I wonder how many sun-dried tomatoes actually are sun-dried. Probably none. They're probably all done in big dryers.
In Italy, they're still made in the sun. Oh, big
okay.
Trays out in the sun. You cover it with cheesecloths, keep the flies off.
Yeah.
And then they are dried in the sun several days. But here, you don't know if you're going to have sun or then rain or what or not. So it does not work swell here, so they're dried in an oven with the lid opened up just a little bit, about 250 degrees. Put them in an oven and let them turn into leather over a long period of time, or get a dehydrator.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dehydrator that I used, but I have not made it recently.
Yeah.
But I do have some in the freezer.
Let's talk to somebody else here in Champaign, line number one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I am calling because I listen to the show all the time. It's the first time I've ever called. But you, maybe even a year ago, you were talking to somebody who wanted a recipe for gazpacho, and you told them to look in a Mexican cookbook because it came from south of the border. And I decided that I was going to call you with a major correction, and your telephone call or your tomato conversation reminded me. Gazpacho is from Spain.
From Spain,
it's as Mediterranean as it can be.
With breadcrumbs and even ice, I think, isn't it? Yes.
Sometimes it's served with ice because refrigeration is not all that common there. But now that Farmer's Market is cranking up, if you would like a classic red gazpacho, it's called. There's a green gazpacho with white grapes and almonds.
Oh, yes.
That you should someday try.
Yes.
But, yeah, I grew up in Spain, so I'm used to gazpacho. But if you just take absolutely fresh farmer's market produce and day-old bread, it is incredibly easy. I use two big, huge tomatoes, And I also get a can of, reminded of the other caller, I get a can of diced tomatoes.
Oh, yes.
Which can have green pepper and onion in them, but you need that extra tomato flavor. Even so, it adds something. About a tablespoon of olive oil.
Olive oil, yes.
And about a teaspoon of sugar.
There it is.
And then a big green pepper, a big cucumber, and about maybe 2 pieces worth, maybe a half of a small baguette worth of fresh day-old bread.
Day-old bread, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then an onion, and I use just plain old yellow onions. Put everything in. I chop them smallish so that they won't kill my blender.
Uh huh.
Put everything in the blender.
Oh, and it's going to be
add red wine vinegar.
Oh, red wine vinegar, yes.
And a little bit of salt, and however much you like. I don't like much salt, but I like a little bit more vinegar than most people. And then when you serve it, it's traditional to do very small croutons, chopped up cucumber, and chopped up egg.
Oh, so that's on top.
Hard cooked egg. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And you serve that on top, sometimes a little onion too. You pass around a tray with those things on it to add to the soup. And it's often served with a couple of ice cubes to make it very, very chilled.
Yes. Oh, that's good. I do remember it was a year ago, and I remember going on and on about Mexico. I don't know why I was. And after I was done, I said, no, that was Spain. That's where that comes from,
I just made my first batch of gazpacho for the year, and I thought, you know what? I wonder if he ever figured that out.
Yes, I did before I got out of the studio, but then it was too late. But yeah. Thank you for listening, and thank you for reminding me.
You're
but
very
yes,
welcome.
It is. That
Enjoy.
Is a good
Bye.
Spanish taste.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for the call. We'll continue, and corrections are welcome. If you want to call
encouraged
and set the record straight, you can do that too. We'll go next to someone here in Urbana, and it's line number 2. Hello.
Hi. I like to snack on sun-dried tomatoes.
Oh, yes.
Instead of having fruit layer or something.
Exactly. Well, it is like those dried fruit leathers, aren't they? A sun-dried tomato acts like it. Yes.
I just bought myself a year ago an American Harvest dryer.
Is it round?
Yeah. It dries faster than one that I had bought that was used. I got this one at Farm and Fleet.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to dry things faster. And I haven't experimented with other things. And I haven't experimented with cooking with the sun-dried tomatoes because I just kind of chew on them periodically.
they're gone and they're not left for you to use.
Right. I just found a little bag and I'm sitting here nibbling on them now. So it's a nice snack.
Well, they would be good. They would be good used in that snack way. That is to say, sort of mince them up a little bit, not too fine, but so that would act like a dried cranberry. Use them in a salad like that. So if they're an additive to the salad rather than a main part of the salad, and then you could use them dry, and they would be wonderful, and you would enjoy that. But when you're cooking with them, you would like it to rehydrate them, either with some boiling water or olive oil. Olive oil takes a little longer. Boiling water, you can end up with a softer product right away, and you could use that in cooking in some different ways. They would probably also fall apart like tomatoes do when they fall apart. But don't overlook using the dried tomato as if it were a preserved tomato that you then rehydrated. It'll work.
I found in drying them that it's useful to kind of hang around as they're doing their thing to experiment with how thick or thin to cut them depending on the tomato.
Yes.
And to sort of keep an eye on them so you don't end up with them overdone. It's kind of nice to have them dry but still flexible.
They want to be just a little leathery, just a little bit. What tomatoes do you use?
Well, I had used some Italian tomatoes, but I also didn't have a lot of those last year. So I just used whatever tomatoes were in the garden and I wasn't using for fresh eating.
Well, my reason for asking was that if you use the plum tomatoes, you can cut them in half, and then every piece is exactly the same thickness, and they all dry at the same rate.
But I find that if you don't have a lot of skin, that it's best if the skin isn't covering all of one side. So it's better to do more than cut them in half, to cut them in slices so that they have two sides.
I see.
That don't have skin on them. But
okay, then they'd be thinner and they go faster.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Sometime in the future, and I might have asked for this before, and maybe you've already had a program like this before, but it seems to me that I keep reading about how kale and other greens are really, really good at preventing all kinds of health problems, including macular degeneration as we age. And but things like kale, I was never fond of it as a kid, and I found one or two recipes so far that I like, but it's not something that's featured in cookbooks.
Not too much. If I were looking for a kale recipe, I would go to England. The English make a great kale soup all the time because kale grows all during the winter, and you can have it in the middle of the winter or beginning of spring or whatever, and many English gardeners have kale. I would look there.
Well, I have purchased, after hearing the authors or the editors of the Gourmet Cookbook, the new one on WLO, I purchased that cookbook. And they do have a couple of soup recipes in there that sound interesting. I should try. But I just thought maybe other people might have greens recipes that they liked. And
that's a good idea. Well, greens will be coming up soon.
Okay, great. Thanks.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go on here. Line number 3 is next. This is someone in Champaign. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I on?
Yes.
Oh, great. I always try to catch your show because I enjoy it so much. Hey, but you've gone on to the myth of the exploding tomatoes. Now listen. You can put a 6-foot circle. You go down to Farm and Fleet or someplace and make those rounds about, a foot and a half round, and your tomatoes will grow up. Put about 4 plants in the base, and they will grow up to about 9 feet. And you will have, and this is Early Girl or Beefmaster
mm-hmm.
or anything,
mm-hmm.
they will grow about 9 feet, and you will have a bumper crop in about a 4x8 area.
Oh, yes.
And also the exploding tomato. Now, look, io parlo italiano. Ho passato tanti, tanti anni in Italia. I spent most of my young time in Italy.
Yes.
Now, what you do is you just take the tomatoes off the vine.
Yes.
And Grandma just put them in a great big quart bag, and you just put them in the freezer.
So you just left them
they
there.
They don't explode.
They didn't explode?
They don't explode.
Oh, yeah.
You just wash them off, and you stick them in a great big bag, and you stick them in the freezer. Then in the wintertime, what you do is you take them out and you put them under the cold tap and the skins come off.
Oh, yes, they peel right off.
You pop them
in
the pot.
Yes.
So that's the most simple way.
Well, that doesn't take very much effort. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but people don't realize that if you plant tomatoes with great big, about 6 or 8 foot a circle around them, that they will grow right up to the top.
Oh, yes, in those towers.
A thousand more tomatoes.
Tomato towers.
You do with a 3-foot one.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so
that's
anyway,
good.
I thought I'd correct that. And
okay.
Un messaggio dall'Italia.
Okay, well, Grandma can't be wrong.
I'm afraid you're right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Goodbye. I love your show.
Thanks for the call. Very good.
Exploding tomato story.
Do not fear. Grandma says tomatoes do not explode. Put them in the bag in the freezer.
In the freezer.
That's
and
it.
Go away.
And go away.
Well, I will remember that.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know why. I remember the teacher, however, made quite an issue of cutting that core out. Maybe she didn't want a frozen core. I don't know. Might have been
well, it could be. I guess, maybe some people, I suppose, when they're working with tomatoes, they like to core them and seed them.
Yes.
And they don't want the core. So maybe that more was the issue that she just wanted to get rid of the core.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll work on that. It'd be a lot easier.
All right.
Wash them off, put them in a sack, and leave them alone.
We have about 15 minutes left, maybe a little bit less in this part of Focus 580, talking with the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he stops by here once a month, always on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour, and we talk about food, and we always have a good time picking some particular thing and talking about it and exchanging stories and talking about cooking experiences and exchanging recipes. And this time around, he said, let's talk about tomatoes, because we are indeed here, just entered into summer. And one of these days, not soon enough, probably for a lot of folks, one of these days there will be vine-ripe tomatoes. Either people have grown them in their own gardens, or they will go down to the farmer's market and get them. And they will be very happy, and they will eat them until they're gone. And then they'll just have to go on to something else, or they'll have to use the canned tomatoes. That's one of the – it was interesting you were talking earlier that – that you want to be able to get a strawberry in January.
Yes.
And in fact, you can get a strawberry in January. And that one of the few things, though, that really anymore seems to have a true season is the tomato. And it makes me think about the fact that it used to be that there was all kinds of things like that, that you could only get them
for maybe 2 weeks.
Times.
Yep.
And then that was it. And now we've sort of gotten spoiled because of the global market. You can get produce grown all over the world. And then that means that at almost any time you can get almost anything, except that there are certain things that just it doesn't work that way.
There are a few. Clementines disappear fast and don't come until late. But boy, I eat them all the time that they're around, and then they're gone for a long time.
Yeah.
And artichokes are seasonal. You can't get them all the time. And
peaches,
right,
maybe?
And peaches are, but because peaches are such a common growth in this area, you know, Kentucky, Illinois, Indiana, grow so many peaches. We do have good peach crop during peach crop season. And before and after, forget it, because they aren't quite as good. Aren't quite as good. So you have the local ones is best.
Let's talk with someone in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very easy recipe for something that we used to have in our family, and we called it tomato toast. It's actually just a sort of a tomato cream sauce that you can have on toast with or without a poached egg on that toast. Just make a little cream sauce.
Yes.
Chop up a fresh tomato. I always make it with fresh and not with canned, although I suppose you could do it the other way. And a little pepper. Salt if you like it, but I usually don't. It doesn't even need salt, and just put that on
now,
buttered toast.
I have to ask you, where did you learn this?
Just in my family.
And
I
where
don't
is
know
your family from?
Well, it probably was from Kansas, not that side of my family.
Uh-huh. This is a southern dish. It's called tomato gravy. But tomato gravy may also be a little bit different.
Right.
No one in the North knows how to make it.
Hmm. So, well, the other side of my family is from Texas, so possibly it was that side. But it seems more like it might have been from the Kansas side, where we always had that was a farm family, and there were always a lot of fresh vegetables.
I have to ask where I'm from, Kansas, too.
Oh, okay. Very, very small town called Kerwin. The nearest little bit larger town was Phillipsburg in northwest Kansas.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's way up there. Yes.
Right.
He's pointing.
I'm pointing.
In fact,
up in the air.
I'm not sure the little town even exists. They put a big dam there, Kerwin Dam,
uh-huh.
and it flooded out a lot of what used to be there.
That sounds close enough to Missouri that I can see this dish is used in the Carolinas and in Arkansas and probably a little bit of Missouri. I don't recall that, but my mother cooked with tomatoes all the time.
Uh-huh.
So
but that's just a great breakfast.
Well,
that's the end of season when you got more tomatoes than you know what to do with.
Well, that sounds very good, and it would be both a little bit cooked and then some on toast, tomatoes on toast. I like it. Thank you.
Okay, you're
All
welcome.
All right, thanks. Let's see. Go back to I think our Aurora caller would like to say hello once more time here.
Yeah, I saw clementines in the market today.
Today?
Yes, but they were $8.59 a box.
Well, I think I'll wait till November.
They come from South America. But
yes.
They look just wonderful. I was very tempted to buy them, but I thought, no, I'll be like you. I'll wait till November.
I'll wait till November. All right. Well, thank you again.
Right, thanks. I guess that is a thing that I think of as being around, as you get closer to Christmas time.
Yes,
That's the thing that you're going to have. And
I guard the box. Yeah. I almost never share it. I get a box, and it's mine.
Yeah, my wife likes those, too.
I love it.
Well, again, if somebody wants to call real quick here, we could probably get maybe one more caller in before we find ourselves out of time. Is there any last thing that you
I bore my friends with this story all the time, but it's so much a part of my early life, at least the first 8 years. Mother would make a dinner for us. And she would open a can of tomatoes, and then she would tear up bread and put in the tomatoes and heat that up. And then she would cook a pound of elbow macaroni and take half of that elbow macaroni and put that in another can of tomatoes and heat that up with some salt and pepper. And then she would fry the rest of the macaroni and have that, fried so it was crisp. I found the Chinese did it many years before, but Mother didn't know about that. And then for dessert, she would open up a can of tomatoes and a whole tomatoes and then sprinkle sugar on it. And that would be a meal. And I was always pleased because, oh boy, oh, I just love this. I asked her one day, I asked her, why is it that you did the tomatoes with the macaroni and the tomatoes with the bread? She says, because you wouldn't eat one and your brother wouldn't eat the other, and the macaroni was for your dad. And she says, besides that, the meal cost 40 cents.
That's what I'm thinking. This is depression,
yep,
cooking.
That was 19.
That's what this
was
is.
late 30s, early middle to late 30s. She said, that was the reason. And I thought, well, I didn't get bored with that, and I would look forward to it, to a tomato day.
And probably everybody came away feeling full,
yes,
and feeling reasonably
and happy
with what. And
well, you
and
had
it
a dish.
Next
that, little did I know, I had a dish that was made only for me. Oh, it was so good! Try that. You won't believe it. You could get four different dishes out of a can of tomatoes and some macaroni and bread.
Mm-hmm. Line one here. Somebody else to talk with in Champaign. Hello.
Yeah. I just wanted to. I have another tomato recipe that we really like. We had this up in Wisconsin. It was a toasted cheese sandwich, but it was they took onions, sliced onions, and grilled them, caramelized them, and then they layered that in between bread and a big slab of cheese, and then they put a big thick slice of tomato on that.
Onion and cheese and tomato.
It was just wonderful. We've tried to duplicate it, but we've never made it as well as what we had in the old restaurant up in Wisconsin.
Did,
I don't know if that's a.
Did you grill the tomato?
No,
it was fresh.
They put the grilled onions on the cheese, and then the tomato, and then they grilled the sandwich.
Where was this?
Oh, I don't know. It was up Stevens Point or somewhere up in Wisconsin.
Because I had a vegetable sandwich somewhere up in Wisconsin that sounds very similar to that.
Yeah,
I think
it was some little restaurant we ate. It's been several years ago.
Yeah, I think the one that I had some canned peppers. And that's about the same thing: onion and tomato. And cheese and a grilled sandwich and mine. So maybe that's a Wisconsin attitude.
Yeah. Well, they grilled the onions before they made the sandwich.
That's interesting.
So
yes,
they were caramelized.
Uh huh.
Really good.
That's good. Well, thank you.
Thank you. I enjoyed the show.
All right. Well, thanks.
That'd be
for
quite
the call.
A sandwich.
Somebody. Well, I was going to say somebody called real quick. I'm not sure we really actually have time, even if somebody called real quick. I'm sure now we've gotten people. We've gotten their tomato memories going.
Their tomato memory is going.
And
right.
They're starting to think about all the things that they would do. So now I'm sure now that they are looking forward to when they will actually be tomatoes.
Hey, here's an easy one.
Okay.
Remove the stem from tomatoes, hollow a little, place in a shallow baking dish, add a dab of butter, and top with Parmesan cheese and tarragon leaves and bake at 300 until just tender, not mushy, right out of the Shaker cookbook. How's that for down and dirty?
Pretty simple.
Isn't it?
If you can get the tomatoes.
If you can get the tomatoes. Mm. Well, you wait. That's all you do is wait. They'll be there.
Well, you will have to wait again for Dill to be here next time. I think our next time would be...
You're
going to be here in July?
I don't know. I'm thinking I won't.
Okay.
So I'll see you in August.
August. All right. Well, we'll find somebody else to talk to.
Well, they won't be as much fun, but that's
well,
okay.
That's true. This is true.
And I'll be listening.
Oh.
I'll be listening.
Oh, all right. Doyle Moore, ladies and gentlemen, the man we like to call our chef in residence. Generally speaking, he is here once a month on the first Wednesday at the 10 o'clock hour. We talk about cooking, and we have been doing that for a long time. We always have a good time when he is here. Thank you very much for being here.
You're more than welcome. Not only is this the first Wednesday of the month, it's the first day of the month.
That's right, and it's the first day of climatological summer. June 1st.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Somebody tried to tell me that last night, and I didn't believe it.
That is correct. And the many things I've learned from my good friend Ed Kieser.
Yes, indeed.
Exactly.
He'll let you know.